We're just glad to be here this morning, and we've got our kids with us, and I see some new faces of some people that I don't know, so I just want to introduce myself. My name's Dean Heath, and my wife Corinne and I got to know Don and Carol Kaysen a few years back when we were in the process of planting a church in downtown Tulsa. And so during that process, I discovered I wasn't a pastor. And it was really kind of a tough time for me, and Don and Carol have just been great friends. How many of you guys know you need a friend that's just going to be there and hear you out and be an encouragement? And we need that in the church. We need to be able to be real and not put on masks and put on a front. And Don and Carol have been that, and you guys have been in many times just a wonderful breath of fresh air for our family. You may not have known it, but just the opportunity to come and share our lives with you, it's just been a blessing for us. So we thank you for that. My daughter, Asia, she's just went to college this past fall. She was a year at Teen Mania, and so she's at OSU now. And so I've got three, Zoe, Tirza, and Kalea, that are sophomore, junior, and senior at Union High School, and then Wesley's an eighth grader, and then Josiah, you might have seen the little one running around. He's 6 years old. And so I made a decision a couple years ago to, after serving about 20 years in very intense full-time ministry, to take a sabbatical. Before that time, I was serving at the Tulsa Dream Center. I was there almost 7 days a week and working 60 hours a week, dealing with a lot of good people that had trouble in their lives. And but there was a season when God said, I want you to minister more toward your family. And so this has been a wonderful season for me. And hopefully this morning what I share will be a blessing to you. I was sharing with Don the other day, a lot of my journey, I grew up in the church, and a lot of my journey was, in the last couple of years, is not just hearing or speaking good sermons, but how does it really, when I go out there Monday, how does it really impact my life? How do I make God's word apply? And I think that's where the rubber meets the road. And this morning we're going to share, I know Don's been talking about the fruit of the Spirit, and we're going to continue that theme this morning, talking about the third fruit of the Spirit, which is peace, that's listed there in Galatians 5. And I just want to take a moment to pray, and everybody take a deep breath. Do it two more times. One more time. Do you know you couldn't do that unless God gave you the ability to do that? Father, thank you so much for the grace that you give us just to breathe and just to live. And we recognize this morning, Father, that we live, we move, we breathe, we have our being in you. And God, I thank you for the joy of the Lord that's our strength this morning. And I thank you for your word that is never out of date. It applies to the youngest child here, to every teenager, every middle-aged person, every married couple, every single, every divorced person, those that are seniors and up in their years. Father, I thank you for your word finding its place in our heart this morning and changing us forever. In Jesus' name, amen. Galatians 5, and I'm going to give you some scriptures we'll talk about this morning. Galatians 5, verse 22, talks about the Holy Spirit and what we call the fruit of the Spirit. And this morning, I want to just share a little bit about peace this morning, but I want to read that basic text, that basic passage of scripture, just to refresh our memory this morning. I'm reading from the New Living Translation, which really enjoyed the last couple years. It's a accurate translation of the Greek of the New Testament and the Hebrew of the Old. But starting in verse 22, Galatians 5, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There's no law against these things. It's interesting that the Holy Spirit produces, and I was thinking about this morning when we go through the grocery aisle where the fruit and vegetables are. Any of you like to shop in that area? We've tried to eat more healthy the last few years, and one of the things we've tried to do, is we've tried to eat and consume more fruit. And I wanted to put these things out there for you to see. Thanks, Asia. I wanted to put them out. I should have gotten a bowl, I guess. But I wanted you guys to see these things because what is the aisle called where the fruits and the vegetables all are? It's called the produce aisle. The produce. You know, Scripture talks about the Holy Spirit is like a wind and you can see it. Not actually see the Holy Spirit, you can see the result of it by the moving of the leaves in the tree. One of the other evidences that we know that the Spirit of God is moving in our lives is that we see these fruits growing in our lives. And of course, they're not pears or bananas or pineapples, but one of the things I noticed was fruit has a lot of different colors to it. Fruit smells different. Different fruits have a different texture to them. But they can be smelled, they can be touched, they can be felt. It's not something that's just woo out there in the universe. They're pleasant to the eye and to the taste. And so I believe in the Scripture when it's beginning to describe what the fruit of the Spirit is, these are things in our lives that can be seen and felt. And when the Holy Spirit does something in our life, you know, one of the things that I think is so important for us in church, we can talk about things kind of on Sunday morning, but is there really the production of that in our lives? And that's the thing that I desire this morning, is that we have that result, that production of fruit in our lives. The Scripture says this, and I'm going to talk about three different areas: the life of a believer, the life of an unbeliever, and the life of the church. I'm going to read three scriptures that deal with fruit in those areas. Romans 3, and you don't have to turn there, you can just write it down. Romans 3:10 says this: no one is righteous, not even one. No one is truly wise. No one is seeking God. All have turned away. All have become useless. No one does good, not a single one. Their talk is foul, like the stench from an open grave. Their tongues are filled with lies. Snake venom drips from their lips. Their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. They rush to commit murder. Destruction and misery always follow them. And then in verse 17, they don't know where to find peace. My wife and I we don't go to the mall that often. But the other day we were at Woodland Hills Mall, and I haven't been in there. Probably a couple of my kids have worked there. I hadn't been in there for months. And, you know, we were walking through the mall, and I began to look at the faces of people. I began to kind of overhear conversations. And I just began to see kind of the spirit of what was happening in the lives of people. People cussing, people all about getting clothes, and although there's nothing wrong with having nice clothes, but there was just a foulness. And this scripture stuck out so real to me because I want to make the contrast between an unbeliever and a believer. I said, Corinne, honey, these people, Jesus is nowhere on some of them. I wasn't making a judgment statement on specific people, but there was just a sense that many people in that building didn't have a clue. You can go to work. You can, if those of you that are in school and you run into people, and the fruit, the Bible says you'll know them by their fruit. They'll know us by our fruit. And why is there a lack of peace, joy, love, patience? Because as an unbeliever, when you don't have a Christ, you don't know where to find peace. You don't know. The Bible says that the God of this world has blinded the eyes of unbelievers. They don't know. And many of us were in a place where we didn't know. Do you remember that? But peace, the fruit of the Spirit, is found in Christ. It broke my heart. In the life of a believer, Jesus is called the Prince of Peace. He is the main one. He's the man when it comes to bringing peace. Romans 5:1 says this, therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. Because of our faith, God has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege where we now stand. I want to read that again. Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. John 14:26 says this, but when the Father sends the Advocate as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, he will teach you everything, and he will remind you of everything I have told you. I'm leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. What did he say? Jesus said, I'm leaving, and when I send the Spirit, one of the fruits that you're going to see in your life is peace. One of the results, one of the characteristics of the Holy Spirit's work is peace. One more scripture, and then we're going to talk a little bit. How about peace in the life of the church, the family of God? Colossians 3, verse 14. You can write these down and look at them maybe a little bit later. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace. Always be thankful. Let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all wisdom he gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. So all through the scripture, I could read scripture after scripture. There's literally hundreds of scriptures about the word peace. But what does that word really mean? In the Hebrew, the word peace is called shalom. That's the Hebrew equivalent of peace. And I'm not even going to try to pronounce the Greek equivalent. But that word peace is full of rich history. One of the meanings is to join, to tie together into a whole. When all essential parts are joined together as one or as a whole. Much of what we've seen in our lives, and many of you can probably attain to this, is when we go through life, we experience hurt, we experience pain, we experience things in our families, we experience brokenness in our jobs, in our careers, many areas. What does the peace of God do? It takes all those separated pieces and it begins to put it back together. Not overnight, but God's peace begins to bring back a sense of wholeness in our life. For many years, I was an incredible achiever in high school. I played football. I was presidential scholarship, got almost straight A's. And you can be somebody that outwardly looks calm, right? You can be somebody that outwardly looks like they have it together and yet not have the shalom that the Bible talks about. In other words, you know, in our culture where image is everything and we have to look the right way and we have to color coordinate. I love watching HGTV and DIY. That's what I sit and watch. And I love it. I think God is the ultimate creator and artist. Go outside. I love walking in nature. Look at the stars at night. You know, look at a field full of flowers. Look at animals. You know, God is about physical beauty. But the scripture says that man looks at the outside. We look on the outside. But God looks on the inside and sees the heart. And for many years, I looked great on the outside. I looked put together on the outside. And yet, I didn't have wholeness or peace. I struggled with who I was in Christ. I struggled with trying to prove myself and trying to prove my self-worth. And eventually, and you guys have heard some of my testimonies, things kind of unraveled in my life. How many know that your life can look a mess on the outside and yet you have biblical peace or shalom? I want to say it again, because some of us, we have it backwards. We want to have everything together for people on the outside, right? We want to be outwardly together. But many times, on the inside, we're not together. We're a mess. How many can testify that you can be honest this morning? And how many know, have been through a process, it's called brokenness, right? Where on the outside, we seem to be falling apart. Paul described this, on the outwardly, we seem to be wasting away. But on the inside, the peace of God and the glory of God is working on the inside. I thank God for the times of brokenness, where I could get out of denial and get out of faking the funk, as I would say, and get real. And the church, this place, is a place where we build relationships. No, you're not going to share your mess and your most intimate secrets with everybody in the church. But the church is a place where we for sure can be real with God. By the power of the Holy Spirit, we have relationships where we can be real. That's why I was sharing about Don. We can share things, and the peace of God begins to flow into our life and makes us whole. That word peace also means, I don't have a lot of time, so I want to hit the areas that I feel like the Lord is really leading us in. One of the meanings for peace is paid for. Paid for. How many sometimes have been in a place in your life where you're just trying to play catch up? Right? It's this subtle, vague feeling that I'm behind. And I believe even in the church, this pertains to our relationship with God. I'm just throwing out about 3 pages of notes and we're just going to go right there this morning. It can be a subtle, vague feeling like we're behind the eight ball, quote unquote, with God. And we feel like if I can just pay more, if I can do more. And remember, there were thousands and thousands and thousands of years, if you look in the Old Testament, of God's story with man, of man failing and failing and failing, trying to follow the law, trying to meet the requirements of the law. I went years and years and years in church and didn't get this. And I always felt like I had to earn. I had to go on one more mission trip, although mission trips are great. I had to do one more youth activity. I had to be the best, the brightest, the most righteous. And Paul said this, he was the most righteous person of them all. He was a part of a Jewish family that was the most respected family in that whole area. He had education, and he said, I consider it all dung. That's another word for another word. I consider it all nothing except to know Christ. And so peace, if I was to have a credit card here and some cash and walk up and hand it to you and say, go out and live your life, how many would take the credit card? Right? Because how many know what comes with the credit card? It's not really paying for it. It's just pushing off paying for it later. But how many know when you have cash, it's paid for? That's what Christ has done for us. He's paid it all. And that peace, the Bible says, that passes all understanding is what comes when we have an understanding that Jesus has paid it. Jesus has paid it all. He has gone before you. Every mistake, every failure, every bad attitude. I said something cross to my daughter up here before the service. I had to go apologize to her. I had a funky attitude. The peace of God paid for that. And I don't care what it is. The peace of God will work in you to will and do his good pleasure. I want to read a quote. It says this. It's by Eric Hoffer. The feeling of being hurried is not usually the result of living a full life and having no time. It is, on the contrary, born of a vague fear that we are wasting our life. When we do not do the thing we ought to do, we have no time for anything else. We are the busiest people in the world. I want to read another quote by Mother Teresa. The greatest disease in the West today is not TB or leprosy. It's being unwanted, unloved, and uncared for. We can cure physical disease with medicine, but the only cure for loneliness, despair, and hopelessness is the love of God. There are many in the world who are dying for a piece of bread, but there are many more dying for a little love. The poverty in the West is a different kind of poverty. It's not only a poverty of loneliness, but also of spirituality. There is a hunger for love as there is a hunger for God. What does peace do? Peace pays the price. Peace makes us whole. I want to read one more scripture this morning, Philippians 4:6. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. His peace will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. You know that word guard in the Greek, what it means? It's a picture of a Roman soldier in full battle gear, standing at the door of your heart, standing at the door of your mind. The peace of God, guarding your heart, guarding your mind. What happens when we don't have peace? All kinds of stuff comes in. But when we have the peace of God, we're protected, we're guarded. I want to leave a couple things this morning just for you to think about. There's so much I could talk about with peace this morning and the fruit of the Spirit. But I want to leave you a couple things just to think about this week to apply to your life. Excuse me, I'm trying to find my way here. First thing, remember Jesus and Mary and Martha. And Martha was running around preparing food for Jesus. She was running around busy, doing all the things, busyness of life. She was checking off her to-do list. I got to do this. I got to do that. Got to run the kids to football. I got to make dinner. I got to pay this bill. Got to make sure I do this. I got to make sure I do that. And Jesus looked at Mary, who was sitting at the feet of Jesus. And the scripture says that she had chosen the better part. She had chosen the better part, sitting at the feet of Jesus. And this week I want you to do one thing. Leave something on your to-do list undone this week in exchange for quality time with God, quality time with your family, or quality time alone with yourself. I want you to leave something. This is Jesus. He was talking to Mary. You know, Martha's running around. Martha, you're doing a lot of good stuff. But he said, Mary, see, this cuts against our whole culture. We got to get it done. We got to check it off the list. We got to have a good work ethic. But this week, I want to challenge you. Shadowing the words of Jesus, leave something off your checklist and replace that with some time with God, with a friend or close family member, or just being alone, just resting. Number two, face your fears. That scripture that talks about casting your cares, don't be anxious about anything, don't worry about anything. Many of us, why we have no fear, why we have no peace is because of fear. And this week I want to challenge you to face your fears. Write down at least one of your greatest worries or fears. This may be difficult. Write down your greatest worry or your greatest fear and write out the worst outcome possible. I call this doing the David thing. The worst possible situation was for David, who was this tall and had a sling and stones, to face this giant that was getting ready to take his head off. And I'll challenge you this week to write out. You don't have to do three or four or five. Write out one. Because what I've found, sometimes the anxieties and the worries and the things that rob us of peace are that thing that we just don't want to look at. This week I want to challenge you. What's the thing that's digging at you? Just write it out. This is what it is. Some of it has to do with your security in Christ. Some of it has to do with a sin that you've been battling. Some of you it has to do with a financial situation or a relationship or a child that's gone astray. I want you to write it down. This is what that scripture says in Philippians. Don't worry about anything, but pray about everything. I want you to take that thing to the feet of Jesus. I want you to take the paper with you. And I want you to take it to Jesus and begin praying about that thing. I want you to begin to give it to him. Last thing. Write out three good things in your life. Things, blessings, people, situations that you know are from God. Could be this church, could be a friendship, could be a job that you, a dream job. You just, God's put you in a place where you're a light and salt and you're making the money you need to fulfill your financial obligations. Thank God for them with your mouth. Describe them in great, actually write them out. and make a daily appointment to think about these things and thank God for them. This is what I've found. This is what I've found. We unconsciously spend more time worrying and being anxious than praying about stuff and thanking God about the good stuff. I want to say it again. I've found in my life, and this may apply to you, that I unconsciously spend more time worrying about the bad stuff and the fears than praying through the good stuff and thanking God for the good stuff. Part of the context of that scripture in Philippians 4 is with thanksgiving, give thanks to God, and the peace that passes all understanding will guard. With thanksgiving, and then the peace comes. What happens when you're thankful? The Holy Spirit joins you, or you become aware of His presence. He's always with us. But when you begin to open your mouth, when you begin to come into a group of people like this and seeing worthy as the Lamb, your attitude and your gaze begins to be fixed on Jesus. And thanksgiving begins to come. Come into His presence with thanksgiving and into His court, into His courtyard, into His place where He makes decisions about your life, into the kingdom. With thanksgiving, come into His presence with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. And the peace of God will guard your heart. I felt like this morning, and I just kind of bumbled through this morning, but the main thing is I felt like there were some people in the room this morning that you don't have any peace. And the thing about fruit, it can be recognized. You know, I've been through in times in my life where I know I see the fruit of patience and I see this, but there's an area that I realize. And I felt like this morning, just to be real, that some of us, we lack peace. We lack peace. And this morning, I just want to do one thing this morning as we just close our eyes, just sitting where you're at. I just want to invite you just to begin to thank God. And that happens with our mouth. Thanksgiving, it's a mouth thing. It's a verbal thing, right? Husbands and wives, do they know we love them without saying it? Dad and mom, do our kids know unless we tell them? It happens with your mouth. And sometimes I believe the enemy gets us into a place where we're being silent and we're not saying thank you. Thank you, God. And just for two or three minutes this morning, and we're going to close, I want all across this room whispers of thanksgiving flowing over the lips. The scripture says the fruit of your lips, the fruit, the production of your lips, giving thanks. And some of you may think, man, I can only think of one thing or half a thing that I can be thankful for. Well, give Him thanks for that. Start somewhere. And I want to challenge you as your eyes are closed, just begin to open your mouth. Father, thank you. Thank you for this. Thank you for that. And you may just repeat it. You may repeat it over and over. That's what meditation is. The translation for meditation is lips that are stammering and completely repeating. Sometimes that doesn't make sense to us. Why should I repeat the same thing? Because sometimes it takes a while for it to get into our heart and our mind. Father, I thank you. 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 I thank you for this church. I thank you for my family. I thank you for the provision that you've given to us. I thank you for this country. I thank you for, Lord God, the freedoms that we have. I thank you, God. I thank you that I know you. I'm not like some of the people that I saw at the mall, Lord God, that don't have any clue that Jesus is alive. And yet this morning, I sit here and I can recognize that, Jesus, you died for me. And I can recognize that I'm forgiven and the price has been paid this morning. This morning, the Lord wants to give you some keys to the kingdom to unlock where you've been barren. One of the things I didn't talk about, but why do fruit trees become barren? Because of lack of sunlight, because of soil issues, because it's become overgrown, because of different diseases that come on trees. And this morning, I believe there's healing also. That whatever has prevented fruit, and sometimes you don't even know what's wrong. But this morning, thank him that he's healing you. And your root system is becoming healthy in Christ. And thank him that the branches of your life, John 15 said, if you abide in me, I will abide in you, and you will bring forth much fruit. Yes, Lord. Yes, Holy Spirit. Bring forth that fruitfulness in my sister. Bring forth that fruitfulness in my brother. You said we could ask what we would in the name of the Lord. We don't ask for stuff this morning. We ask that you'd open the window of heaven and cause your fruitfulness to flow into the leaves and the branches of our lives. Yes. Yes, Lord. Yes. Some of you've seen relationship after relationship. It's like friendships just keep dying. God says, young woman, I'm bringing peace. I'm bringing peace. I'm bringing peace. I'm bringing wholeness. Where you feel like you have to pay for something and you go overboard in friendships. God said, I'm giving you peace to know I've paid it all. You don't have to prove yourself to people. But I heal you this morning. And I allow the shalom of my presence, the peace that passes all understanding, to come into your life. Kile meshendo kai romaste, rimastingeshto mai. Shonde mai tondre kishai meke. For the Spirit of the Lord would say, I love you. And before you were formed in your mother's womb, I knew you. And you're not an accident. But I have a plan, I have a purpose for the fruit of your life to reach and touch those that are around you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Yes, Lord, and there's several marriages. You've been lacking that fruit in your marriage, the joy, the love. And God's restoring it this morning. Thank you, Jesus. God's restoring it. And sometimes, and I'm not trying to just keep you guys long, just a few moments, just resting in his presence. This is where the peace is. This is what you have to fight for in your life, is moments like this. You have to, not against TV, but you got to turn off the TV. Sometimes you got to close the door and say, I don't care if you have to get up early or you might be a night person, you might need to go to the park. You got to fight for that place where the Spirit of God can work in you, that fruit of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. It's found in him. It's found in him. Father, this morning, just as we leave this place, God, I pray that the revelation of your peace would just go deep on the inside of us, and it would, Monday morning, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, that word about thanksgiving. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of Christ Jesus concerning you. And I've begun to thank God for even for my future. I began to thank God that no weapon formed against me will prosper. I began to thank God that hundreds of people will come into the kingdom because of what he's doing in my life. Open the windows and ask. Open the windows. Open your mouth and begin to ask him. For he's able to do exceeding abundantly above what you could even ask or think, according to the Holy Spirit's power in you this morning. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. One more thing as we close. I did bring these because I was out there this week. You can open your eyes. I brought these this week. Go and look at John 15. We're not the pruner, but he is. Now, I'm not a green thumb person, but those of you that work with trees and shrubs and plants and flowers know about what these do. And I've found in my life, what does God do? Sometimes God, and sometimes it can be painful, he'll cut some stuff off, some unfruitful, some diseased areas. And I felt this strong. That's why I'm sharing, just taking 30 seconds. Sometimes some areas of that are diseased are relationships. I'm not talking about marriage. I want to make myself clear. I'm talking about a diseased relationship, a friendship, somebody that you're tied to. And it needs to be pruned. And you know God's pruning. So it's a very specific word for someone. You're wondering, why am I not being fruitful? And there's this poison coming out of this branch, right? God bless you guys. I love you guys. We're going to be up here if anyone needs prayer, if any of the leaders that want to come up and pray for people. But I felt there'd be a few people that would want some specific prayer. You guys are released. God bless you.